Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me. Homeschool dads trying to make sense of things during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. What you got today, friends, is a massive, massive increase in the number of kids born outside of wedlock. What, 50% now, up from 6% in 1960? 10 times the shack-up rate we had in 1970. The divorce rate is some 50%, up from just a percentage at the turn of the 20th century. And this is what the demise of a civilization looks like. And we're just chronicling it and saying, let's get back to the Word of God and the standards of the Word of God. Not everybody agrees with what we're saying on this program. We understand that. We come at it from different worldviews. We believe that if you break down the family and you break down the faith, you will break down a civilization. Others say, hey, no, we can break down sexuality, the social systems, the family, et cetera, we'll have fine economies in the years to come. And I don't think that's going to happen, friends. So we're getting back to the standards of God's word and encouraging others to those standards today on the program. Well, here's a story, Steve, from Salem, Oregon, or a small town just a little bit north of Salem, Oregon. It's a place called Gervais. Gervais teachers are starting to distribute Bibles. The Gervais wow. School District is making Bibles available to students as young as the sixth grade. Superintendent Rick Hensel confirmed Tuesday teen pregnancy has been a huge concern for the board since a year ago when a group of nursing interns from the Oregon Health and Science University presented a study on this issue in Gervais. Hensel said 9 girls in the Gervais School District became pregnant this school year. The decision was made to allow some specified teachers to have Bibles that they could distribute after discussion with a student, Hensel said. According to the draft minutes from the May 14th meeting, the school board was generally supportive of distributing Bibles to students in grades 6 through 12, but were concerned about the details. The board agreed to support the recommendation as long as the Bibles were distributed by trained professionals, though they weren't more specific.
Wow, are you sure?
Hang on. I'm sorry, that's not Bibles, that's condoms.
Condoms!
Sorry, I got that wrong. I was reading that as Bibles. I must have had some dyslexia there.
Yeah.
Epistemologically, ethically conscious dyslexia going there.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's condoms. It's not Bibles.
Condoms.
Yeah. I was thinking that was odd.
How old were these?
You wouldn't think they'd want to distribute Bibles. I mean, that would have solved the problem.
And so what's the age group on this?
Down to 12 years of age.
12 years. And they've had nine.
They've had nine girls in the district become pregnant. So they're going to solve it with condoms. That's the theory.
Oh, wow.
It's too bad. It's too bad. Wow. And this is a small school district out in the middle of nowhere.
So
the little tiny town somewhere. This wasn't happening back in the 1970s and 80s. They weren't doing condoms then. But by the time you get to present day, you've got a lot of safe sex going on.
There is no safe sex. Abstinence.
Yeah.
That works 100% of the time.
The idea of safe sex is supposed to be safe fornication.
Right.
Several problems with that.
Right. A lot of problems with
that. Yeah. First problem.
I've studied this. As a nurse, I've looked at condoms. And, condoms work, if you're going outside of the Bible, okay, so, this is, talking from a strictly biological standpoint.
Okay.
Condoms work 80% of the time against pregnancy. Now, a woman can get pregnant roughly 36 to 48 days a year, and that's because of, ovulation and all that. But you can get a sexually transmitted disease 100% of the time every year. And so against pregnancy only, it's about 80%. If you're looking at against sexually transmitted diseases, you're looking at maybe 50%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and because the holes that are inherent within the condoms are larger than the bacteria and the viruses and things like that.
Right, right.
So really, it's not safe. They actually changed the terms at one time to safer sex, but it really isn't. So you're looking at, even if you're going at the best, 80% of the time, 1 in 5 times that you use them correctly, you're liable to get a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay, so several problems. One is they don't work.
Right.
Two is safe sex is safe fornication, and safe fornication is an oxymoron.
Yes,
because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Yeah, so you're going from safe from what
to
safe from who.
Yeah, safe from who, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So 100% of the time, fornication is...
It is. It is not safe.
Right.
100% of the time, fornication is not safe. Why? Because there is a God in the heavens,
And he has said that no fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And all fornicators, all liars, tossed into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. And that's bad news.
Yeah.
That's really bad news. Now, I have encouraged people not to teach the safe sex or sexuality in the fear of STDs.
Right.
I have encouraged them to teach sexuality in the schools, in the public schools as well, in the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge when right. it comes to human sexuality.
Yeah.
It is. It is when it comes to character and when it comes to maintaining a solid social system. So friends, the idea that somehow you don't need the fear of God in the classrooms is bogus, because the fear of God is the only possible basis for true knowledge and true wisdom and true character. Steve, I have a huge problem with some of these character-focused programs.
Yeah.
Espoused even by Christians in public schools that will not, they refuse to teach the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge in those classrooms. I have a huge problem with it. They shouldn't waste their time to teach the fear of STDs in the human sexuality classroom.
Yeah, it's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. And so when you throw God out.
Well, here's what the average kid's going to think. If you're teaching sexuality and the fear of STDs, what he's thinking is, you know what? Okay, so maybe the condoms aren't 100% at this point. And so I do get an STD. So I do get HIV. Well, I happen to believe that man is God.
Yeah.
We determine our own ethics. So if we can determine our own ethics, we can determine our own reality, and we can beat this STD thing. We can beat God's judgment. You know, we can beat God on this one. Why? Because I happen to believe, this is the way they think, that scientists are very smart and are able to solve all of human problems, and we can predestine the future of mankind. And by the year 2040, man will be immortal. I read it on the front page of Time Magazine 3 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Man immortal by 2045. So Time Magazine said it. Scientists are very smart. They've been telling us that for the last 200 years since Darwin. And God doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm not going to listen to this guy who's teaching the fear of STDs in the human sexuality classroom. That's the way that humanists think. Problem is, you're not going to beat God in his game.
Yeah, the thing is that you know, when they say that man will be immortal by 2040 or 20 whenever, man is immortal right now.
Yeah.
You will not. You will go on forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Just either, not in this one.
Either heaven or hell.
That's right.
Either heaven or hell. Right. Okay, be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also in studio. Going to look at Americans' morality. It's going downhill fast. That's according to a recent Gallup poll. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
How's that commercial coming along?
All right, guys.
We're about ready to record it right now.
Okay, yeah. So, how's it go again?
Let's see. It's Whole Family's Welcome, and there's Sing Sing Something Something, 94 Talks, lots of vendors, Sing Sing, Talk 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 Sing, and then the big finish, Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow. Let's hear it.
All right. Quiet on the set. Here we go.
Whole Family's Welcome, Sing Sing. Something, something, 94 talks and lots of vendors, Sing Sing, Talk, 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 Sing.
All right, here's the big finish.
Rocky Mountain, Super Conference on the Family.
Wow, it's just
right,
like you said.
Job,
hey, glad you liked it.
That's
when
a
is it?
June 12th through 14th.
And where do you go to sign up?
It says check.org. That's check.org.
Thanks, I think I'm going to go sign up.
Thanks a lot.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn also here with us today. Americans' morality going downhill fast, according to a Gallup poll just released. New record highs in moral acceptability. premarital sex, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, growing in acceptance. On a list of 19 major moral issues of the day, Americans expressed levels of moral acceptance that are as high or higher than in the past on 12 of them, a group that also encompasses social mores such as polygamy, having a child out of wedlock, and divorce. America's turning into one of the, if the, not the most immoral nations in the world. Steve, this is my assessment. It was Rutgers University came out with a study a couple of years ago, found America to have the weakest families in the Western world, largely because of divorce rates and the number of kids born outside of wedlock. We weren't quite as high as Sweden, but our divorce rate is so high, it knocks out most European nations. Thus, Americans have the worst families in the world. If you want to live in a nation that has very, very, very poor potential to amount to anything in the years to come because they have eroded their foundations over the previous 150 years, you want to live in the United States. If you want to live in a nation that has stronger families and a stronger possibility of surviving as a social unit, you need to move to Portugal. Okay? So just FYI. Americans have the weakest families in the Western world. America has done a lot to destroy its family, largely because of massive individualism and a strong antinomianism taught within the churches in America. That is, Americans do not like the law of God. They sing, "Oh, how hate I thy law," all the day long. It's pretty much. I'm not sure if anybody has worked that hymn yet, but Americans are individualistic in their theology and they're antinomian or autonomist in their approach to God's law. And they've been that way for about 150 years. Americans tend to be anarchical, sadly, until the churches bring back God's law and call people to repentance on the basis of God's law and to find grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins and purges away our sins and enables us to walk in his ways. Okay, so moral acceptability, very, very, very high on things like, well, birth control is at the very, very highest. Yeah. Americans love their birth control, most of which, of course, has abortifacient qualities. Talked about condoms earlier, but most Americans are more interested in the birth control pill, the IUDs, and these sorts of things that bear abortifacient qualities. Americans love to abort their kids. They love it. So 90% of Americans gung-ho on birth control. And I did a program on birth control about a year and a half ago and raised the ire of the entire nation on that program.
I bet you did.
And very, very, very upset with me, suggesting that the womb was turning into a tomb for many, 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 many babies. Hard to estimate how many babies, but because of that abortifacient birth control pill. And So from what I can tell, most of America has not come to peace with Kevin Swanson on that issue.
Yeah, but if you take a look at the birth control pill, the pill in general, it does have that, but they're not being told that. There's a lot of lack of education. And
there is.
As a nurse, I've actually studied this as well.
Yeah.
And because there will be breakthrough ovulation. And so the birth control pill must have, in order to prevent pregnancy, it makes the environment in the womb uninhabitable. It makes it so that the fertilized egg cannot implant.
Right.
Therefore, if you do believe that birth comes at conception.
And this is common knowledge for doctors, most of whom will not share it with their patients.
Right. Because they don't want them to know that.
Right.
Because if you think birth or not birth, that life begins at conception, then birth control pills would be way down.
And we have quoted the physician's desk reference on this. And friends, it's common knowledge among the medical community that the birth control pill has abortifacient qualities. But 90% of Americans love it. Love it. Just love it. Here, largely acceptable. Okay, and these are at all-time highs now. Americans love divorce, 69% of Americans. America has had the highest divorce rate in the world for probably 150 years.
Yeah.
With maybe a few other nations topping us out occasionally. But we are at the very, very, very top. We break covenant like you would not believe. And I was looking at rates in the 1850s and 1860s and 1870s. America was leading the pack for covenant breaking. back in the 1870s, 1880s, and 1890s. At that time, there weren't that many divorces. It was some 1% in America. Places in Europe like England, Wales, Scotland, we were looking at 0.1%, 0.2%. Yeah, wow. But in America, it was upwards of 1% by the 1880s and 1890s. So America's always been leading the pack on a divorce. But now, you know, we're way, way, way above the 1% in the 1880s. Now we're upwards of 45, 50%. Divorce. Americans love divorce. 69% of Americans find divorce largely acceptable. 69%. That's an all-time high for Americans. Sex between an unmarried man and woman, 66% of Americans love it. Highly favorable. 66% of Americans say, go, you shack up, you know, you even create kids outside of wedlock. That's at 58%. That's also at an all-time high.
Wow.
Americans love kids born outside of wedlock. The Bible considers it a curse.
Yeah.
Exodus chapter 1 considers the fatherlessness to be a curse. All the way through scripture, you find fatherlessness to be a curse. But Americans think it is a wonderful, wonderful blessing on so many kids when they are born without fathers. And, you know, perhaps their father dies, perhaps their father divorces. All that's good. They just love it. They love it when kids do not have fathers. Americans love it. They're just excited about kids born outside of wedlock. And 65% of Americans love the killing of a human being. Medical research using stem cells obtained from human embryos. So they love stem cell research as long as you can sacrifice a child in order to do the research. Americans are all in favor. 65% of Americans in favor. All of these are at all-time high.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they haven't found even one thing that they can do with stem cells from embryos.
Yeah.
They found many things from adult stem cells. Yeah. And so I think this is at least God saying, guys, this is not right. You're not going to find anything with this.
But what Americans are saying is, if it is for my convenience,
right,
if there's a possibility that we might be able to kill a child in order to benefit me, if you could put a bullet through the head of a child in order to benefit my own health, do it in a New York minute. Take care of it. Take that kid down, use him stem cell, rip it out, and use it for whatever is necessary in order to keep, you know, my carcass alive a little longer.
Right.
So Americans are in favor of that. Now, it turns out Americans aren't as much in favor of abortion, as it turns out. But abortion versus abortifacient birth control pills. And I think the difference here, Steve, is that Americans don't like late-term abortions where you're hacking the baby into pieces,
right,
in a very obvious sense, and where somebody has access to a camera and they can take pictures of the body parts as they come out. They don't like that. It's too yucky.
The less messy it is, the more we accept.
They go for the less messy abortions. I think that's what it is with Americans.
Right.
They're very hypocritical. They don't just say, hey, yeah, kill all the kids. But they say, if you can kill the kid and not make it obvious, I'm all for it.
Right. So the question is, does life begin at conception? And if it does, then all of this is abortion.
Yep. Okay, so 58% of Americans love this idea of having babies outside of wedlock.
If they used to be
called bastardy. They absolutely love it. Used to be considered a negative thing. But 58% of Americans now endorse this kind of thing. Gay or lesbian relations, 58% of Americans in favor of gay or lesbian relations. And that is also at an all-time high. No question about that. That has been rising like a rocket for the last 20 years. And I'm going to hit a story on that in just a moment. But here's something I don't understand as much, Steve, and I thought maybe you could weigh in on this one. It has to do with pornography. Only 33% of Americans find pornography acceptable. Only 33% find pornography morally acceptable. That just sort of shocks me. Number one, 80% of young men have a problem with it, according to some of the surveys I've seen. So lots and lots of young men have a problem with pornography, somewhat addicted to it. That is weekly, monthly, they're hitting the porn sites.
That's really odd. So because it's okay to do the deed, but not 60, to look at it.
66% of Americans say it's okay to fornicate. Only 33% say it's okay to look at pornography. Now, it could be that there's a fair number of women that are opposed to pornography because pornography tends not to be a woman's problem. Now, in some cases, it is. But it's a much lower percentage than it is for guys. It's at least half.
Yeah.
So my guess is that you've got most women opposed to pornography because men are using it to gratify themselves, and they understand that this is a self-centered, self-oriented thing, and they're opposed to it. That's my guess. Yeah. Probably 95% of women opposed to pornography, but 66% of men and women in America are gung-ho about fornicating with whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there, is that it's not mutual in pornography.
Yeah.
And when it's fornication, at least they're satisfying each other.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 right. And as long as it's against God's law, they're for it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's against God's law and it doesn't cramp my style,
yeah,
they're going for it.
Yeah.
I think that's the way Americans think. And now, granted, there are exceptions to this rule. My guess is many who listen to this radio program are saying we ought to be applying God's word to this. Now, here's a question that comes to my mind. Oh, by the way, polygamy is up as well. Polygamy is at all-time high. Well, only 14%. It's on the rise. It's only 14%, probably those that tune into A&E or whoever produces Big Love.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some program out there. I've not ever seen it. But
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But I've heard of it. So there's pro-polygamy stuff out there right now, and they're working hard to reintroduce polygamy and other forms of sexual decadence to the modern world.
Yeah, I'm surprised the 58% that are for homosexuality aren't for polygamy, too. Because, I mean, if you're going outside of God's word,
then why not go all the way?
Yeah, what are the limits?
Right. I mean, that is odd that you have 14% in favor of polygamy, but 58% are in favor of homosexuality.
Yeah.
If God's law doesn't count for anything.
Right.
And by the way, the argument against polygamy is actually a little harder, biblically speaking, than the argument against homosexuality.
Right. Because you
want to twist scripture?
Yeah.
You ought to go to polygamy first.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anybody any encouragement here for the people that are trying to twist God's word any which way.
Yeah.
But there's no question the New Testament is opposed to polygamy.
Right.
And finds it to be a negative, a sinful thing. And in fact, it disqualifies an elder from serving as an elder in the church.
Right.
If he's a polygamist, if he has two women, he cannot serve in the church. So it's pretty clear in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God winked at some of that, did not wink at homosexuality in Old Testament or New Testament. Either way. Well, Steve, I wonder what's going to happen to this nation. Does God still judge nations as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah? Here we are on the rise, you know. If it offends God, if it's illegitimacy, if it's fornication, if it's homosexuality, if it's killing kids, if it's illegitimate divorce, Americans are all for it. You know, and then these, for the most part, constitute sexual sins. And from what I can tell, Revelation 2 and 3 and throughout, and this is the latter part of the revelation we find in Holy Scripture, we find that the sexual sin still irritates the living God. That's what I find. Have you read Revelation, the book of Revelation?
Oh, several times.
Okay, yeah, okay. Then if you've read the book of Revelation, you're going to find that God is fairly bothered by sexual sin. In fact, in the case of one local church, he says, you know, I am coming and I am destroying you unless you destroy Jezebel and all that sexual sin in your church.
Right.
If you don't destroy that, I will come and I will destroy you. Now, that's the meek and mild Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, that's the tender, precious moments Jesus holding the lamb.
Right.
That's speaking those words in Revelation 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I have to sometimes correct people's concept of Jesus. We've got 147 Jesuses out there. Remind people, we on this program speak of the Jesus Christ found in the New Testament. Okay, that's what, you may have come up with a Jesus. You found the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran or, you know, the book according to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Or Jimmy Joe or Pollyann. But we don't subscribe to the gospel written by Jimmy Joe. We subscribe to the gospels written by the New Testament authors. Okay,
right.
So this is the true and living Jesus Christ, who revealed himself to the apostles and conveyed it to us through these epistles and through the gospels. And as you read about Jesus in the book of Revelation, he comes after Babylon for its sexual sin, as he does after these local churches who tolerate sexual sin.
Yeah, he talks about following after the sin of Balaam. Well, what was that? Well, that was having the these young women come and introduce themselves to the Israelites, the men, and having these love feasts and all that. And Balaam knew that God hated this and said, God will judge Israel based upon this.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did.
And he did until somebody stopped it.
Yeah. And so you take a look at the United States, and we've got all of this sexual sin going on. How is God judging us? Well, I had a friend of mine say that he was reading, he read something about how God judged nations based upon what they saw was their strongest points. Well, what are our strongest points? Or what is the American dream?
Today.
Economy.
Today, yeah.
And so we've aborted how many babies? Well, how many of them would have grown up and bought these houses and bought the goods and bought the cars?
Yeah, the birth implosions are not going to help us one little bit, Steve.
Right.
And we've left the legacy of not just the birth implosion, but $100 trillion in debt.
Right.
And the worst character a nation probably has ever maintained, at least in the modern age.
Yeah.
The character of the nation is pretty much busted to pieces. However, our young people have the strongest egos of any generation in the history of the country. So that's the one strong point we have.
Self-esteem training in our schools.
Self-esteem.
And so we feel good about being stupid, feel good about being immoral.
But you know what people are thinking? People are thinking, yeah, but we have a kinder and gentler God in the New Testament than we did in the Old Testament.
So really?
He got a little upset with Sodom and Gomorrah back then, but now he's good with it.
Yeah. So
all except for Acts 17, where at the times of the wickedness among the Greeks, etc., God winked at. This is Paul in Athens in AD roughly 60. Okay. So Paul is telling him, God winked at your ignorance and your wickedness in the Old Testament era, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent.
Right.
Okay. So it seems to me that he's holding these nations to tighter accounts today than he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon, and the world before the flood. So, friends, okay, you want to bet on God being disinterested and very, very, very lax on your behavior, our nation's behavior today, especially being that we have a heritage that we have turned against.
Yeah.
We're not just a Sodom and Gomorrah had hardly a heritage. We have a heritage. And I talk about that heritage in my book, The Second Mayflower. We have an incredible heritage, a Christian heritage that, yes, was largely destroyed by Nathaniel Hawthorne and the 19th century philosophers and writers. And I deal with that in my book, Apostate. Yes, America has a heritage. America is more culpable than New Guinea, Uganda, Zambia. America is more culpable than, I would say, any nation in the world, culpable to the judgment of Almighty God. So God calls all men everywhere to repent. A little sackcloth and ashes would be in order at this point, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, I look at Acts chapter 5 as well. I mean, he didn't allow Ananias and Sapphira to die. He killed them.
He did.
In a church.
He did. That doesn't sound like the kinder and gentler.
No.
That sounds like the God who's holding people to account.
And that was because they lied.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of, they lied to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think the moral of the story here is God calls all men everywhere to repent. Yes, America is going the wrong direction. God's people should repent. I think it should begin in the household of God. Judgment begins in the household of God. Therefore, shouldn't repentance begin in the household of God? This is the exhortation on this program today. We're calling people to repentance, and we encourage you to attend a church that preaches repentance and faith, both. It's called an Acts 20 agenda. This is what Paul taught in the churches in Ephesus. We ought to be teaching in our churches. If you go to a church that doesn't teach repentance, just about every single Sunday, leave. Leave. Go somewhere. Go find a true church that teaches faith in Christ and repentance towards God, both and. It's critical. There's never been a more important time where God's people should repent. And of course, this repentance begins with us. Shouldn't be pointing fingers at the fornication around the world if we've got a porn issue in our own homes. So let's look to our own lives first. Let's seek God's forgiveness and the purging away of our sins in Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up this edition of the program. We are in the midst of a fundraising program. We do this once a year for the Generations Radio broadcast. We reach over 100 nations around the world with what we believe to be somewhat of a unique message. We bring the Bible into the program. And we use the Bible to address every area of life. And we also encourage people to faith and repentance. We don't separate the gospel from the news. We don't separate the gospel from the real issues of life. We bring these things in all the time on this program. We hope the program is relevant to you and to hundreds of thousands of others around the world who are dealing with these sorts of issues and need to be called to repentance and need Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you'd like to support this radio broadcast, just simply go to our website and click on Donate Today. We're looking for 100 sponsors willing to sponsor the program by $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, or $100 a month. And if we can get 100 sponsors by the end of June, then we're good to go for another year. Folks, you can interact with the program and donate to the program at generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.